Our gospel this morning is Luke chapter 12, the words of Jesus. I came to throw fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already ignited. But I have a baptism to undergo, and how distressed I am until it is finished. Do you think that I came to bring peace on the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. Yes, from now on there will be five divided in one household, three against two, and two against three. They will be divided, father against son, and son against father, mother against daughter, and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. The Gospel of our Lord. I invite you to join me in prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Friends in Christ, grace and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In that gospel we read, you had some uncomfortable thoughts. Is Jesus the ultimate anti-family man? Sure seemed like it. I mean, think about it. He was born of a virgin, so the father he grew up with was not his father. He was single, never had any children. His work made him constantly traveling. He never settled down to have his own homestead. And then we hear this, that Jesus didn't come to bring peace, but fire and a sword. It could be difficult for us to hear that. It could be a little bit frustrating, expecting some kind of hope or guidance in this dark world. But maybe it's good for us to consider this. And how we don't like family divisions. Oh, don't get me wrong, we like to see them out in the world. We like to see family divisions and dysfunction on reality TV and on different TV shows. We might have an unhealthy interest in our friends and neighbors' families as they fall apart, but not if it's our own family. We wouldn't want that to touch us or our lives or bother us in any way. And so we might say to Jesus, can you give me a little bit more here? I was expecting a little bit more out of you today. But brothers and sisters, Jesus is not trying to tear down families. Today he's honest and upfront. He knows that being a Christian isn't easy. He knows that. Because in our families there are people who don't want to have anything to do with Jesus. And it strikes close to home. It's not in the world out there. It's actually in our very own homes and families where people have heard the message and rejected it. So, faith and family are important. But today we consider, what if the two conflict? Jesus wants our hearts and he wants us in his home as he drives the word home. And he's going to do that in three different ways. He drives the word home because he faced the family sins, because he proffers a more profound peace, and he wished it had already begun. In this chapter of Luke, he exposed a lot of threats and dangers to faith. He already talked about how hinging your life on money and possessions is a huge danger. He also talks about how you need to be prepared, how unpreparedness can hurt our faith. And he also warns about worry. And that's just in this chapter alone. But nothing has hit so close to home. So why is Jesus being so negative? Well, maybe it has something to do with our expectations of who Jesus is and what he represents. I think in a lot of movies and cartoons and pictures, we see a happy-go-lucky Jesus, kind of a sappy Jesus who's just always got his chin up and saying nice things like a cartoon would. But here, Jesus is conflicted. He's in tumult in his heart, and he's distressed because of a coming baptism. Now, that's a little different usage of that word baptism than we might be used to. We're used to a washing with water to take away all of our sins. Jesus had already been baptized by John like 8 chapters ago. So what is he talking about with the baptism that he's going to undergo? He says this a few times. He tells some brothers, can you drink the cup I drink, or can you undergo the baptism I'm going to undergo? What he's talking about is actually an oncoming punishment that involves pain and blood. And sometimes we use the word baptism like that too. Like when you start a new job, it's baptism by fire, right? Maybe there's all kinds of things that you weren't prepared for. You've got all kinds of work you might not be used to. And it's baptism by fire. Or you go overseas and you're immersed in some foreign country and you're not used to the culture and you're entirely shocked. That would be the kind of baptism that Jesus is talking about here. An athlete can have this baptism of sweat and strength. But you know what an athlete can't do? You know what you can't do at your new job at work? You can't do in a foreign country? You can't really save victims. You might be able to raise money and awareness for victims going through a baptism so people see your struggle and they might bring their attention to your cause, but that does nothing for past victims. Jesus' baptism was special because it was going to be this punishment of pain and blood that directly involved the sins of the family. We can think of a baptism for sins of the family if we think about how many there have been. From cheating husbands to multiple wives and concubines. From deception to intentional dysfunction. From dishonor and disrespect in the family to exasperation and frustration in the family. From unnecessary arguments to charged insults. From domestic abuse to unbiblical divorce. There was a reason for Jesus to face punishment. And that reason was sin. Sin is what causes all these different things and make for an awful consequence in our family. And Jesus, yeah, he was bringing a fire to the family, but the biggest fire was the fire that he underwent for the family. Jesus did this for each of our families by this kind of baptism, a washing of punishment with pain and blood. And by that washing, that punishment of pain and blood, you know what Jesus did? He brings glory to the unholy. He brings love to those who were poor and broke and miserable in their sins. He brings justification to those who had no business talking about righteousness and perfection. He brings a new relationship and right status before God, because his baptism involved going to the cross and basking in his blood because of your sins and the sins of your family. That's a lot better than the happy, sappy, fruity, go-lucky Jesus, isn't it? As someone who's conflicted and who's more real than any of our family sins because he's serious about taking them away. I see a lot more comfort and hope in that kind of Jesus. A more profound peace than anything we have when we just try and play peace in our own family. We can get why Jesus is distressed. We might still be wondering why there's disunity in the family. Well, Jesus said he's going to bring or throw fire. He came to do that. What is he talking about? I don't think it's too outrageous if we think about judgment, that in the end, Jesus is going to come. We get this all over the Bible. In Joel chapter 2, verse 30, God says, I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and billows of smoke. Also in 2 Peter 3, verse 7, we're told, by the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and the destruction of ungodly men. But Jesus is a forgiver, not a new lawgiver. But here's the thing. Judgment already starts in this life. Jesus comes with all this good news, with all of this punishment that he takes on in our place. He's substituted for us. But you know what happens when people hear about that? It's one of two things. People react with joy and faith, or they don't want to have anything to do with it. You see, that's why he brings fire. Either you hate it or you hunger for it. The truth of the gospel gives you strong convictions. There are strong convictions that either make you care about sin, grace, and faith, makes you think about your eternal soul, or you have strong convictions about rebellion and rejecting what God has to say to you. And there's a couple different ways to do that. You think you can earn the way to heaven without Jesus, or you just kind of do as you please and ignore it, kind of whistle in the dark, like maybe it won't matter. But Jesus is not unaware. The beautiful part about our gospel today is Jesus saw that coming. He saw that kind of family division. He saw that some people weren't going to accept it and other people were going to trust it and have huge, strong convictions for it. And the very fact that Jesus predicts it shows that Jesus is a lot more than just about keeping the peace. Jesus is about a deep, more profound peace that takes into account what happens next. We might try and pretend like things are fine, but Jesus gives us this information, he gives us this word, so that we realize things aren't always fine when we just have this fake pretend peace, this shallow peace. Jesus wants us to have a deep peace, a more profound peace in each of our families. So, if Jesus comes with fire instead of family peace, how can he say, according to Isaiah 9 verse 6, that he's the Prince of Peace? How can Jesus tell his disciples in John chapter 14, my peace I leave with you? Or in John 20, how can he greet them with peace be with you? Or how in Romans 5 verse 1 can God say, since you've been justified by faith, you have peace with God through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? The fact is that if you want a deeper, profound peace that lasts forever, it involves fighting through earthly, shallow, pretend peace. God calls each of us to do that. When unbelief and doubt strikes close at home, God says, I've got something deeper and more profound for you. Worldly, shallow peace ignores these gaping, life-threatening problems. These problems that involve your eternal soul. The problems that scare you when you stay up at night and you wonder how bad your sins are in the family, how much you have hurt your friends and the people who are closest to you. Sometimes we're scared because we know we might not see a way out or a solution to some of our arguments, some of our dysfunction. What Jesus does is give us a deeper, profound peace that says we're together with him no matter what's going on in our lives. And after all, isn't that more important? Isn't that a deeper, more profound peace with someone who's in charge of our eternal soul, even more important than the people we love the most here on earth? Because they can't say what happens to you in the end when you die. But God says, I have something for you, and I have something for you to keep sharing with your family. So there was Jesus. He said he wished his fire had already been ignited, and it was better in his mind to bring the fire and to know where people stand rather than for people to wonder. So it's also better for our families to get started and with a lot of love confront some of those differences of faith. Here are three important things we can learn from Jesus' words. First, don't simply ignore the differences. Don't simply ignore the doubts and the unbelief. It might be comfortable. It might be easier to get through this life. But would you ignore your child playing in a busy intersection? Of course not. Absolutely not. You would rescue your child as soon as you could. How much more important is it when it involves your child's eternal soul? Don't ignore those differences. The second one, discuss the important issues. Our loved ones, and by important I mean the basics first. Our loved ones might not grapple as well with more hot button issues, like something you'd find in politics, like something you'd talk about with sexuality or life issues. Start with the basics like sin and grace and faith, so you have a foundation to build on, to share other Christian virtues and values. And start with what's most important. And the third thing is, don't desire family fights. There's a lot of us whose sinful nature is just looking for a battle. And once we start a battle, we're looking to beat the next argument, to win. And meanwhile, all kinds of disunity and lovelessness continues in the home. Don't seek those battles out. Don't look for that. Seek peace. Love one another. Be kind and compassionate. Forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Because Jesus isn't the ultimate anti-family man. He's not anti-family. Jesus is anticipating family. Jesus couldn't wait to be a part of your family. He couldn't wait to go to the cross for us, to put all those sins aside, to cast them into the depths of the sea so that we'd never have to worry about them. He couldn't wait to make you his sons and daughters through holy baptism and faith. He couldn't wait to be your God, your Lord, and to look out for what's good for you. Jesus is the ultimate family man because he was anticipating your family and what kind of love he would do in your family. And how does he do that? He does that through the Word of God, when you have a chance to share his grace and peace with the ones you love the most. Amen.